Welcome to the Joycast. It's your favorite podcast. I'm your host. I'm Materasu. And we in this bitch again with my co-host, Shai Sladu, God of Iron.
Hello.
And Team 91.
Hello. Good evening.
Now, it's cold out here in these streets, y'all. It's cold out here in these streets because...
Actually, it isn't.
It's been hot for a long time. I'm denying that, Abuja right now. No more. These heats. Jesus.
See, yo. Let me tell you something. See, Lagos as well. I was suffering today. I couldn't do any work today. I was just in pain. Lying down, trying to get any small cool air that I
imagine
could.
Imagine having your bath, and before you even step out of it, you're sweating. That's how bad the heat is.
I understand it, but y'all, before y'all, like, you know, destroyed my alliteration.
Please, go on. Yeah. Release your track.
Let me hear y'all's alliteration. But yeah, I understand, because my own is like, when you put on the cold water, but the warm water comes out because the water tank outside is hot. That's how
that literally happened to me.
Bro. See, what kind of ghetto lifestyle is this?
Yo, anyway, like I was saying, it's cold out here in these streets, yo, because Phil Spencer likes to pretend that he's a nice dude. Let's pretend that he's a nice guy. He's been talking about, you know, maybe case-by-case basis. But guess what? Once the EU approved the merger of Xbox and Bethesda, once they signed on the dotted line, Phil Spencer came out saying, yeah, by the way, here, yo, every new fucking Bethesda game that comes out is exclusive to Xbox and Game Pass. We ain't playing with y'all. What y'all think this is? Oh, because I was smiling at y'all before they signed the deal? Fuck y'all.
Cold-blooded.
So, my own question now is, so wait, hold on, because the thing that they previously, like, I guess promised for other consoles, do we still get them, like, Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 when it comes out in 2035? Will we still be able to play them on whatever other platforms that are available at the time?
What they're saying is this. If they sign a contract with you for any game, if it was signed, they will honor the contracts. If it was not signed, then peace, y'all. We ain't even interested.
So Starfield is a maybe, and Elder Scrolls 6 is a most likely no. Okay, interesting.
Yep. So, I mean, that's it. I mean, so I don't know how everybody out there feels about Bethesda games. I mean, for me, the only games I really play from Bethesda, I mean, are Doom. Right? At Doom Eternal, those are my games. I like Wolfenstein series. But, you know, nothing else really crossed my place. I know people love Fallout, right? But for me, the only games that really mattered were Doom and Doom Eternal. I played those on PC anyway, so it's not even a problem. I play almost all my first-person shooters on PC. But, fam, for those of y'all that love Elder Scrolls,
yeah,
you know?
I am one of them.
For those of y'all that love Dishonored.
I don't care about Dishonored.
For those of you that loved... But at least we're getting the first iteration, isn't Ghostwire Tokyo a Bethesda game?
See, Deathloop, Bunko. I'm pretty sure Deathloop is being made by
Deathloop.
So you'll get your PS5, but any sequel that comes out, nothing for
exactly. No promises there, yo. No promises there. That, man, they cold, man. They cold. So, I mean, like, I look at it and I think big moves like this, it's just like, it's changed the gaming industry for our generation of gamers that love these kind of games forever. Because, I mean, obviously the mobile gamers, you know, they're unaffected. The people, you know, who are into these massively multiplayer games are not really, really affected. But those of us that have grown up in this kind of, like, section of gaming where, you know, it was like the console wars and all that stuff, this is a huge move. And it's going to change the way, because obviously Xbox is trying to move it into game as a service. And this is a huge part of that. So, I mean, guys, go off. What's happening here? Are we, like, how do we see the future? What are you guys thinking?
Well, Well, I think anybody that was the thought Bethesda, Bethesda would be acquired by Microsoft and everything would still be available everywhere was being a bit naive. This is what corporate types do. Like, nobody, no corporation is your friend. Like, they are just looking for the way to make the most money, period. And the thing is that if it turns out that it is in their best interest financially to have this available everywhere, trust me, it is they will, the way they will roll back on this statement of everything is exclusive, it will just be shocking.
Yeah.
So I'm not. But like the only thing that I'm worried about, honestly, is the Elder Scrolls because I mean Starfield, we've seen nothing of it, so you can't miss what you never had. Really, we just know that there's a thing that exists. Or that somebody is planning Elder Scrolls 6. That's how they will turn around and make it like an Anthem games as a service kind of situation. And all of us in Sony Land will be laughing at everybody else because historically those games tend not to work. I feel like they are more of the ones that work are the exception that prove the rule. Like the last couple of games as a service that have come out have been rough, but anyway, I'm not saying they will do that. I'm just saying it to be funny. But yeah, so it's I'm not that bothered to be honest. It's not tricking me, not pinning me in my spirits. I just good for them, I guess.
Yeah, because for me, I'm still not buying an Xbox, right? Because I'm still an Xbox. I'm still paying Xbox money because of Game Pass. Because Game Pass has what 18 million users. Right? Wow. And they launched just when? Versus what? How many users does PS Now have, for example? Let me check out the PS Now subscriber base. 2.2 million users exactly. After how many years?
It's because...
Right? So that's almost 10 times. That's like 1,000%.
Yeah. It's because PlayStation is being, or Sony, actually, they're not taking it seriously. If they were taking it seriously, there are so many improvements they would have made, things that they would have done. They need to bundle that thing with PlayStation Plus. If they do that alone, I'm pretty sure there are a couple of people that own PlayStations that don't even know that PlayStation Now exists. I am willing to bet on it. That they bought the PS4 like 5 years ago and they've not even used that 1 week free trial.
I'm curious because I think I wonder how many of the Game Pass people are actually PC users and how many of them are actually Game Pass Ultimate users, because I'm pretty sure it's just for the very fact that, you know, it's easy to skew the numbers because obviously Game Pass Ultimate includes Xbox Live, and when you try to increase your price to be more than Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for Xbox Live alone, but it includes Xbox, you know, but then include Xbox Live inside Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. It kind of says something. So I really feel, you know, I really feel that Microsoft might have the majority of their members have moved from Xbox Live to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and then just acquired a bunch of PC players because, you know, PCs are like, you know, yeah, we're good with Steam. Everyone will talk about Steam. Steam sales, Steam is the best. But when you have a service that you pay, what, like $7 a month? No, sorry, £7 a month, $10 a month, and then you get whatever game you want. That's the best basically for the price of two games, right? You have access to every single Xbox Game Pass, so you have access to every single Xbox first party game that's coming out on day one on PC for two games, right? In a year,
which is not bad to be fair.
You can play all the games you want on Xbox. It's like a pretty sweet deal, right? And so what they get is that whilst there's some people who might play one game a whole year, like FIFA, or like Final Fantasy 14, for example, right? And just wait for the next expansion to come out. So maybe for them, they're buying one game a year, right? At least now they've got two, and people are paying every single month. They've got income coming in, especially when you know that your install base isn't so large. You only have a small percentage of your install base buying several games a year. Maybe it was the best. I mean, to tell the truth, this is all speculation because I don't know what the numbers are. I'm not doing the mathematics, but I'm just theorizing here. And I think that you know, maybe Game Pass is a good deal for them, or maybe they're losing money and we don't know. But whatever it is, you know, they've made a big effort into luring gamers onto Game Pass. You know, yeah, I don't know, but Bethesda was bought for Game Pass. That's a $7 billion buy to buff up Game Pass, and they instantly added 20 Bethesda games to Game Pass. And all the thing they've been saying, Bethesda is going to operate the same way it has before. And then next thing, once they sealed the deal, they're just like, ha, ha, ha. So Spencer was like, let me just let you know, guys. Y'all, like, what y'all on about, man?
Yeah, I mean, they're just like lying to like protect their interests. Like, yeah. I don't know why we thought that anything would change, to be honest. They're definitely going to more or less monopolize the products of the companies. They're going to get the best of the best, or at the very least, it's going to, I think the kindest thing, maybe if they were to be really generous, what they're going to do is more or less the Final Fantasy VII remake sort of thing, or Monster Hunter sort of thing, where it's going to be exclusive to them for like a year and a half, or a year if they're being kind. And then later on, when they feel like they've collected all the money they can from the day one buyers and from all the new subscribers getting onto them, they're like, okay, the rest of you can have these scraps. And to be honest, the whole Game Pass thing, the main issue was the sustainability, because it's a lot easier. It's way easier and way quicker to make a 10-episode season for a Netflix binge in a weekend than is to make a new Elder Scrolls or a new Horizon Zero Dawn, that sort of stuff. Games take a lot more time, a lot more effort. And I guess previously the issue was that would they have a big enough backlog of games and titles to fall back on so that they have something to show or something new to present to players and they wouldn't get bored without just diluting the entire marketplace with shovelware. And I guess it still remains to be seen, but with this announcement, it's a very strong start. And even me, like, I don't, but even from some of the stuff that was being released on Game Pass like some time ago, and I just think to myself, this might very well be the generation where I become an Xbox owner. Like, it could quite easily happen just based on the value they provide and just like all the stuff that's coming out. And it really wouldn't be a bad purchase at all in any way. And I believe that's what they're thinking. And so far, they're actually succeeding pretty well. The only other issue is the size of companies that are doing mergers, because, well, we're kind of like in the infancy, but in other industries, we've seen now that Disney pretty much owns 70% of all entertainment everywhere. Yeah. And that's a bit of a problem. So if Microsoft is buying every single thing, no one is standing against them. Well, if the companies start buying up everything, I don't know. I don't know what the landscape will turn out to be, but it pays to keep, for good or ill, it pays to keep an eye on things. Changes.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, I 100% agree, because I was half thinking, will this Xbox deal go through? Isn't this like an antitrust thing? Like, this is like a huge deal. Yeah. Do you understand? It's a huge deal, and it's like, but what I also understand is that lawmakers are not really current with some of these things. So would they even understand what's happening, you know?
I honestly believe they do. And the thing is that I've actually always been, and I still am, a staunch supporter of the power of exclusives, pretty much, and securing studios and industries.
Mm-hmm.
However, there has to be a limit to the size of the industry that you're acquiring.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, this, like, should entities this large be allowed to even merge in the first place? Is that actually a good thing? Like, time will tell. But based on how stuff is going in other industries where there have been major acquisitions and things have been narrowed down with a lack of choice, I see no reason to think that gaming will break the mold in that way. So it might, well, everyone else might better start hustling to make good games. Otherwise, maybe Microsoft will just end up buying everyone plus Sony as well. That'd be mad.
No, it's actually kind of crazy. It's actually kind of crazy. What can I say? Okay. So, I mean, we've talked about, you know, how, you know, this is a big acquisition and, you know, it's kind of dangerous, the plans Microsoft has, especially when it seems like they're trying to own the entire gaming industry and be the infrastructure for all where all games are distributed on. But we all know that competition makes everything better, right? But it seems like Xbox is either going to try to destroy or buy the competition. And let's be honest, anybody that says, oh, we love competition, but then makes a $700 billion buy, sorry, I said $700 billion, so a $7 billion buy of, you know, one of the biggest gaming media outlets out there that owns several studios and several IPs, well, I don't think they really care about competition that much. I think they want to end the competition.
Yeah.
If you can't beat them, buy them.
Which is what all corporations want in the end, is to eliminate all their competition by either driving them out of business or buying them. So no, nobody is
surprised. Yeah, this is true. Unlimited growth. Like a cancer.
They don't even want growth. They want to just be the if they eclipse everything, there will be no growth. They'll just be like, yeah, what is it what we want? And you will have to just take it.
Man, they'll absolutely still be growth. They're just like more microtransactions, more monetization, more everything. Woo!
Yeah, exactly. So there's a different kind of growth that's created from competition versus the kind of growth that's created from, we'll just do whatever makes, you know, affects our bottom line the best.
Yes.
Games as a service? Here, take them. Y'all don't want them? Too bad. This is what you're going to get. You want something that looks like an RPG? Here it is. But you'll have to pay. But, you want to get that Supreme Sword of Light? That's $5.
Oh my God. Please don't even joke about stuff like that.
And you can't go to competition to get a better deal because we murdered them all.
And you stood there. And let it happen.
What
you
didn't vote with your wallets.
We gave you the best deals possible. Vote with your wallets. That's what you're supposed to do.
Because I'm poor.
It means you need to start kneecapping 1 in 3 in 5 people who are doing pre-orders and microtransactions. Like, what's that? You want to pre-order Avengers 2? Boza.
You need to deal with the generation of parents that are allowing their kids to be racking up microtransactions after rights. That's what you need to do.
Deny your children. Stop showing them that you love them.
So I kind of like want to add my 2 cents to it before we kind of like.
Hey, calm down. Not so loud. Calm down. Yeah, calm down. Ah. It's okay. Oh, yeah, continue.
Speaking that loud? Anyways, for me, I don't really play any Bethesda games. Not really a huge fan, so I'm not really bothered by the acquisition. But I would say with the whole Microsoft thingy, I know they are not big in Japan, and I'm sure they are not going to buy a lot of Japanese studios. But if this whole acquisition thing gets out of hand and Sony and Nintendo start buying Japanese studios, and it becomes like Western studios versus like Japan Eastern studios kind of thing, it's going to be weird. But I don't think Japan is going to allow that kind of thing. And also, we have the indie developers that always bring out great games every year. Supergiant and a few. So if those guys are safe for now, and we have basically everyone that is a gamer has always dreamed of like creating a game and in some form. So I don't think competition can be dead, but I just feel like I don't think anybody is going to buy out all the indie studios and stuff like that. But yeah, for now, I think we are pretty safe and it's not that bad.
So here is the thing about corporations, yeah? Corporations, if they cannot get you, if they want you and they can't get you, what they end up doing is trying to make your environment so harsh that you have to take up with them. Now, thankfully, because crowdfunding is a thing and you can put the Indiegogo projects and GoFundMe and Kickstarter, indie devs are somewhat safe for now. But you see, these corporations, they can do and undo. And I'm always very skeptical of them. And I'm always worried because, truth be told, if they wanted to go after some of these people, like really, really go after them, they can do it too. I don't trust them.
No.
Yeah. I think it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. But yeah, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I don't know how big Xbox is in Japan, but for me, my fighting games, my JRPGs, most of the games I play, they are pretty much, most of them are not on Xbox. And yeah, I don't know how they are going to get into the Japanese market and all that, but I'm just kind of like happy about what I have now, and I'm not really bothered by Microsoft or thinking of getting an Xbox at any point in time. I don't hate the Xbox or anything, but they just don't have anything to like offer me beyond like shooters and just the regular Western stuff.
The only thing they had that could have offered you, the three.
Yeah. So I mean, there's also a point to note that Japanese studios are on decline. Right. I think the only real like when it comes to third party Japanese studios, there are a few that are still there, but generally they're on the decline. Western studios are on the rise, and the majority of the market is actually in the West, which is why Sony has now relocated its HQ to the West. And whilst they still have a Japanese influence, like, and they know the kind of games that they want to make, except for a few big titles, like everything's gonna be money driven, so Your market is actually actually being threatened, whether you like it or not. But obviously, there's some key things that are still strong in the Japanese market, of course. And it's overall, the Japanese market is quite small. Although they tend to spend a lot more on gaming generally, but the market is quite small.
There's also something I want to mention, please. That there's one thing that we should not forget, that even though again, I don't actually care about Bethesda games. Like, the news, normally speaking, the news could have meant, like, less than nothing to me. It's something that I nod my head and I go, oh, wow, that's big. Ooh, that's nice. That's record-breaking, whatever. But there's one thing we all need to pay attention to, is the fact that even though it doesn't immediately affect you, it's going to eventually have some effect, because you realize that the reason why all of us console players are paying for online subscriptions to use our own internet to play online games is because of Microsoft. They are the reason. Okay. And
this is true.
If you follow that same reasoning, this huge merger that they've acquired, for good or ill, this is going to have far-reaching consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And even as you said, like, Japan is sort of like on the decline. See, I think this is going to majorly change the landscape of gaming. I am not knowledgeable enough, or I can't exactly figure out how it's going to change. But I will be honest, it makes me a bit nervous, especially just based on Microsoft's track record thus far. I'm sure whatever it is that they're doing right now is going to end up being profitable for them and maybe even by extension gaming companies. But I am skeptical that it is going to be to the eventual good of everyone else, because while it might be fine now, the potential of where it could lead to, maybe not quite so fine. Because we could end up being in a similar situation as a cable and television, which is what we had before. It is what we were dealing with before Netflix came around and shook everything up with their model, ironically enough. And now, Microsoft is using Netflix's same model, and like packaging all the games onto one subscription service, and then once everyone's on, they could probably just like hike everything way up, and we don't have all that much choice. So anyways, it's just like some random thoughts. I haven't really properly put it all together just yet. I will probably need to sleep on this. everyone needs to keep their eyes open and they need to keep their wallets closed. But it's, I mean, it's Skyrim, it's Bethesda, so that's probably not happening anytime soon. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that's for sure is, like you said, it's definitely going to change the industry. Like, we really need to see how Sony and Nintendo and all the other players, EA, all of them are going to react, you know, to this. Because, you know, Microsoft is not just into gaming. And the fact of the matter is, if Xbox was a standalone, they wouldn't have been able to make that purchase, especially after the last generation. So we know it's not Xbox money that used that. Microsoft just flexed its muscles to say, like, gaming is getting big. Yeah. We want to be, like, they've been trying to get into gaming in different ways. Like, obviously, there's Xbox, but they weren't doing well necessarily last generation. They did well. They did great in Xbox 360 generation. They weren't market leader last generation at all by a long run. Switch and PS4 both outstripped them by far. Then, you know, they did Mixer. That didn't really end well. It ended. And so, like, yeah, for them, this is just what it is for them. They're just like, yeah, gotta, you know, they're like, this is our last ditch effort, I think. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the negatives and what ifs and, you know, crazy things. For the last like couple of minutes of this show, let's talk about what kind of positive things can we see from this merger.
I can't think of any.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of positive things for Microsoft.
Yeah, for Xbox players, sure. They can think of positive things for them, Xbox players, and for Microsoft, but for, like, the public in general, what good could come of this?
You can't even say, like, competition, that sort of thing, because as we discussed before, it's not like they're buying Insomniac or Rare.
See how
they've treated Rare.
They're not buying a developer, they're buying a publisher that has developers under them. Like, this is not a joke.
So, I mean, what would you have preferred? Like, so for example, I see them trying to do Game Pass as, like, a service. So, like, you know, obviously, I think one benefit is, like, okay, yeah, access to a bunch of games and just paying a fee like Netflix and never having to purchase a $60 game again. Because if I want to buy Returnal, that's a £70 investment if I want to play a new game on Sony's side.
See ya. If they just wanted to get those games on Game Pass, I'm pretty sure they could have done it without buying ZeniMax Media.
I agree. No, hold on. That was going to be my next point, right? I agree. So that's one thing. So, I mean, but I'm just talking about, like, positive outcomes, right? Like, okay, is that the kind of value they're trying to... That, you know, you said value for people. Because also, they're also saying that they're happy to have Game Pass appear on other platforms, right? They're happy to have Game Pass appear on Nintendo Switch, possibly on Sony's PC system, if that's what they want. Both fans have said that before. It's like, yeah, let them pay subscription, and then, yeah, let Game Pass games be dropping on, you know, on Sony platforms, and whatever profit sharing thing they want to do, they'll do, right? But then, you know, what we know is that you pay for PS Now, or you pay for PS Plus, and you'll also pay for Game Pass or Game Pass Ultimate, or whatever it is. But then you get to play games on whatever platform you want, whether it's like Sony, you have xCloud, you know, technically if the PS5 gets a browser in the future like the PS4 did, you know, and it's Chromium-based, they could play Stadia and xCloud in it. You know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that could happen. They want to be on every platform. So they don't want to be tied to the box. They see the box dying. And so they're trying to position themselves in a place where, you know, people are stopping to buy hardware and we're going to be streaming stuff soon, or, you know, we can buy things as one. They just kind of want to put themselves in a place where if a computer is ubiquitous and everybody has a PC and, you know, all this gaming, and if the console should eventually die, you know, they want to be secured and protected. And that's what this shows to me, right? But then... and they still want to provide value to the gamer, right? But then I now think, but if they're following a Netflix-type model, doesn't that mean that they wanted to have lots of exclusive games on their platform? Doesn't that mean they could just go to, like, hey, ZeniMax Media, hey, we love, you know, the song, like, kind of like what they did with Insomniac Games, and they had Sunset Overdrive, right? Mm. So couldn't they just have been like, hey, yo, Zenny, yo, that cake looks tight. We want something. We were thinking you could do something for us. Like, we'll put down, you know, $100 million, you know, for your development fees. You know, like, that's way cheaper than $7 billion. Make a game for us.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we'll share the profits X, Y, Z, and then we could do that. And we could do that on a case by case basis. And then you'd be getting exclusive games, and you know, you can still have a lot of games on Game Pass. But rather, they're trying to get the whole back catalog on Game Pass. One, because I feel like game. Let me be honest. As a Game Pass user, people talk about the value. Yeah, the value is great, and you know, they market it very well. But as someone who's used Game Pass for a while, I know that I've gotten maybe all of 10 games from Game Pass. Right, and then thereafter, the money is just removing from my account. I'm just like, this other game, I don't really care. This other game, I don't really care. Oh, they said this one will come out in July. Okay, let me just wait. You know, like, it's not, they actually, not all the games are going to be, like when they say, 100 games on Game Pass, 100 games is not that much, because that 100 games is not, it's not like I want every single one of those 100 games. Right? And yeah. So they needed a wider variety of games on that Game Pass system. Unless it was going to go the way of Stadia, right? So that's why I think they bought ZeniMax Media, to put a lot of beloved games on it. I mean, they could have just signed some deals to put it there, but I don't think they like, maybe the deals they've been signing have not been great. I don't know. I don't see how $7 billion.
I think they wanted to bulk buy most probably, and just like, yeah, well, instead of buying like. An Indomie packet. We'll buy it.
Wait.
Let me give my own analogy before you guys go. You know, back in the day when we had Sega Drive and Super Nintendo, and we would get like those 100 games in one like cartridge, yeah. And maybe only 5 games in those. Oh, in the whole thing would be like playable, like Street Fighter, 3 Mario games, and maybe 1 Sonic. That's exactly what Game Pass is like.
That's your primary problem. Is your
I don't know. I don't know if this is quite the same thing. I think we've come a long way since.
But I get the gist. I guess your analogy is correct.
No, he's not wrong. Yeah,
so they both. I would agree that was what was happening. But this is there's some variation here. Come on. That'd be nice.
No, there's some variation, but come on, like, for like, think about it. There's a lot of variation. Like, it depends on how many people. I guess it really depends on the numbers. How many people are playing those games, right? How many people are playing Skyrim? How many people are playing Elder Scrolls? How many people are playing, you know, all these different games? Dishonored. A lot of these things were critically received, right? But they weren't necessarily the best selling games.
Yeah,
and Fallout's been on a bit of a decline, if we're honest. So. Yeah, a bit of a decline. Just in terms of the quality. I'm never talking about the sales, but the quality.
There's been a steep decline.
Yes, there's been a fallout in development and with customers.
I don't even know if the meaning of that word is even proper.
You get points.
At the end of the podcast, Shy Sly Dude has ruined everything.
It's ruined forever. It's not the end of this episode, this is the end of the Joycast podcast, like, in general. We're just not doing this anymore because
Babs, like, we've decided everything. That this isn't going to work anymore. We're done.
I mean, that's what it is. So, it's going to be interesting. I think we really need to see what the response from Sony and Nintendo will be, and to see how this situation shapes up. But one thing is sure is that Microsoft knew something had to change. And so, you know, so that's why this has happened. And so we'll see how the whole industry responds in this generation, because if they were going the way they wanted to do, if they're going the way of the last generation, I think we'll just have continued. And of course, they did this, and it's kind of crazy. So, you know, we're going to see how it is. And just like that, no, it's time. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It is time for us to wrap up. Let us know in the comments, wherever you see this. Well, or should, you know what? Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter. Yes. Yeah, JoysticksNG. JoysticksNG. Hit us up there. Let us know what you think about, you know, this episode, what you think about this acquisition, and what the future of gaming is, and if Xbox is going to run away with this generation, or if the other guys are going to come clap back, spray the bleachers, you know, pa, 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 pa. You know, what's going on? All right. You know, we love y'all. Peace. I'm Terasu out.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
So there was a fallout between me and guys. I might be here next week. Have a nice one.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. at JoysticksNG. That's JoysticksNG. We also make awesome YouTube videos. You can check out our channel, Joysticks Entertainment. We have tons of content up and more coming every single week.
Check out our unboxing and first impressions video of the Xbox Series X.
Subscribe there too so you don't miss any of the exciting stuff we've got coming your way. And see you in the next one.